Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the time period that we're living in. And Father, we want to thank you that you have given us living water. It flows out of our innermost being. And Father, today as I share the word with your people, I pray that whatever I say, whatever I do, will be very valuable to them. Father, we are living in some very difficult times. And we have some difficult things that we have to face on a daily basis. But Father, you have given us tremendous life and a tremendous position where we can face this life and be victorious at what we face in. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we were bringing out the difficulties that we face in life today. And most of them are what we bring on in on ourselves. And it's amazing how easy that is for us to do that, to bring problems on ourselves. I'm the only one that has that problem, huh? It's awful quiet here. Somebody said, is it really 99.9% of the time? I said, no, it's actually more than that. But I thought I'd give you a percentage. And it all stems around with the way we think. And many people don't realize how important it is that God has given us a dispensation that he has chosen to help us in the area of how we think. Yeah. And if your faith literally grows as you gain maturity, it's because you're gaining more control of your mind. Yeah. Did you hear that? As we grow in the Lord, it's because we're gaining more control of our mind. And if we gain more control of our mind, we have less problems to face. Have you ever seen people when they're driving on the freeway? You can tell whether they're driving in an aggressive manner or they're driving in a complimentary manner. And they're driving for your benefit. I don't find too many that drive for my benefit. Matter of fact, I find more drivers to my disadvantage. And so I had to make a decision within myself that I was going to act like a believing driver than a non-believing driver. And so then I go out of my way to compliment. And it's easier to compliment people that appreciate it. But do you know how hard it is to, compliment somebody that doesn't appreciate it but expects you to get out of their way when you have the right of way? People thinking really has a lot to do with how our life is managed. But you know, our time frame is very important because this is the time period that Jesus left us a legacy that we can pattern ourselves after. And it began with Jesus because when Jesus first came, he began to introduce the Father for what he really was. They didn't understand him up until that time because of the way they were reacting among themselves, especially with other people. They were going through society, driving any way they wanted to, and expected everybody else to come in line with the way that they were doing things. And that was the religious man. And Jesus manifested to show the world what the heart of the Father really is about. And he did it past, He's done it presently, and He'll do it future. And so we're in what we call a perfect state of redemption, because we have an example that was left us. And Jesus Himself did something that was very tremendous. Just before His death, He promised the Holy Spirit, because He was very important as to revealing the kingdom of God to people on this planet during this time period. And it started on the day of Pentecost, and we brought out the fact that on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And it said that they were cloven tongues as of fire. And that was a symbol of what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was all about. It had the ability to burn up the chaff, really, in our thinking. Yes. We found that out in 2 Timothy when Paul went to Timothy and began to bring to Timothy's remembrance about him receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit through the laying on of Paul's hands. And he told Timothy to fan the flames. So evidently he had gotten out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit, wasn't praying in the Spirit. And as a result of that, he didn't have the courage to face things by the leading of the Spirit, so he turned to his elder, which was Paul, and Paul helped him in that. Yeah. Now, a lot of people don't really understand the word comfort. And a matter of fact, I did a monthly letter. Some of you might have read it. I know that I've gotten some feedback from some ministers that really bless me on the feedback. But one of the words that we find in all the different translations is the word comforter or helper. And actually in the Greek, that is a word for paraclete, one who is called along your side. And we were in Sunday school and we were talking about the fruits of the Spirit and everything. And in Galatians chapter 5, what people don't realize there is that the Spirit that he's referring to there is a spirit, the human spirit, the spirit of the rebirth. When Jesus got us born again, that's what caused us to go into the body of Christ in the earth. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit's different. That baptizes us there into the power of God. And so when we're facing, especially the life that we're facing here today, I always encourage people, whatever you do, stir or fan the flames in you that will cause you to be energized. Matter of fact, one says it charges you up. Remember Kenneth Hagin always said it charges you up like a battery? You know, you're fresh. And boy, I found that so true over the years that I've faced my desert times. And then another word for it is achieving ability. And another one goes way back to Wycliffe's time. Wycliffe was the first one to take the original text and translate it into a language that we could understand. And most of your translations come off of that Wycliffe translation. And the word that he used for comforter was not the English meaning to that word. It actually comes off of another word in dunamon, which literally means to infuse with power, to be brave, strong, and courageous. But the modern English translation for comforter means to console, to have pity on, to comfort in a sense of consoling oneself where they're at. And that was not the original meaning for that word comforter. And because that word had been narrowed down, we lost the true meaning of what the Holy Spirit really does in our life. He infuses strength into us. He causes us to become brave. He causes us to get into a position where we're more than conquerors. But He can't do it without our help. He can't do it unless we join ourselves to Him and let Him give us what is necessary for us to take that position. And too many times we deal too much with this natural life through our natural man, our outward being, than we do with our spirit. You know, it was just like, I think it was John was telling me, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is, see, a lot of people don't really understand what that's saying. It's saying that when you worship God, and that word for worship is not just singing songs to him, but it's actually giving glory back to him, which is a form of worship to him, that you're succeeding in what he has given you to succeed with. And no other time period is it going to be like this time period, especially now that I've gotten into the book of Revelations and been studying that and pressing in, and with the aid of the Holy Spirit, I'm beginning to see very clearly now how special God has set us up for this time period. Now, I'm going to tell you what's unique about this time period. This time period is not God's best for us, but it's the best thing for all of mankind. And let me explain what I mean by that. Jesus had to do something when he came to redeem man, especially for this age of grace, this time period that is so unique. This is the time period God is doing his best to reach out to everybody that has need of the kingdom of heaven. That's everybody on planet Earth. But here's the thing that he had to do. That ever since the fall of man, one man, through one man, mankind fell and lost spiritual identity. And so when Jesus came, he had to come and exegesis is what they call it. But he had to come to interpret to mankind the witness of what God's heart was really all about. What God was all about. But now listen to me. He knew that in coming and giving a witness of the Father towards humanity, he knew that during this time period, he would have to let us live out the rest of our life in this fallen body. And people, that was not God's best. But that was what God was faced with, was now approaching mankind, call the body of Christ to reach a dying world and having to leave his inheritance in these bodies, these fallen bodies, to witness to this world. And so in order for him to be able to do that, he had to give us his best, so that we would stand a chance by remaining in this physical body to reach this world, so that we could overcome and be the witness he intended for us to be, just like the witness he was to the lost world. And I'm thoroughly convinced. I think we found one other minister that really brought this out, who's very knowledgeable in the world. He believes that the scales, when they're tipped, when they're balanced in the opposite direction of a profit, meaning an investment with a good return, that will probably gauge when he'll come and receive the church to himself. And God is not one to allow something to continue to go into deficit. If that was the case, your life right now, God would not interfere with you going into deficit, but he will. He will do his best to tell you to stop the deficit, to get out of debt, and to advance in profit. That's just the Spirit of God. Are you following me? And so he's the same one that resides over the whole world. He would that everyone gets saved. Now we have, all these doctrines about predestined, and they don't know how to to literally understand Scripture. They pull them out of their setting and they make them mean something else. But it's all because of their natural mind being more in control than their spiritual mind. Paul had that problem with the Corinthian church. He said, I would have loved to come and give you revelation, but I had to clip the wings of my revelation for the sake that you're still dominated by your outward man. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he said, I have to get you to understand how to put him down and how to develop spiritually so then that we could go on into more important matters that causes us to grow into the kingdom of God. And so one of the things that Jesus was so emphatic about is he could not leave here until he accomplished the position he needed to accomplish for the Holy Spirit to come out of heaven and go into the heart of his people that receive him. Amen. Go on the inside of us and begin a work there.
Hallelujah.
And so we are living in a very unique dispensation, a very unique time. Whether we think so or not, we are in a very good time. The only reason that we're not where we should be, especially when we're facing the difficulties of these lives, it all really boils down to how much communion you're having with the Holy Spirit. Paul said that to the Corinthians in chapter 13, when he concluded the first chapter, he says, and may the communion of the Spirit be with all of you. We have to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit as well as we do with Jesus and as well as we do with the Father. It's very important because without us understanding how important that is, then we're defeating the very aspect of what God gave us. Matter of fact, Jesus, before he actually ascended and took that first bunch with him, he literally said and gave this emphatic teaching. You can be forgiven for anything but speaking against the Holy Spirit. It will not be forgiven you in this time frame nor in that which is to come. And what he meant was, you will stand accountable for when you speak against any form of the Holy Ghost, you're going to be responsible for the damage that you're doing because he is sent into the world to reveal the kingdom of God in the heart of every single individual. He didn't send the Holy Spirit into the world to reach the world. He sent the Holy Spirit into the world to enter the heart of every person who receives him to reveal the kingdom of God in him. So you better be careful how you speak, because if you don't know what you're saying, you're better off keeping your mouth shut until the Word of God comes alive in you, what the definition for being Spirit-filled really is all about. And there is nothing in your Bible that alludes to even, that's not even allude to the tongue being of the devil. Where did that come from? Where did it come from? I'll tell you where it came from. It came from a believer who didn't know any better, didn't speak in tongues himself, didn't know how to speak in tongues, and that gave the opportunity for the devil to speak in him and say, because they're of the devil now. Do you know that the tongues were not given even back in the baptism of the Holy Spirit to reach people in their language? Although we had the testimony that God did use a converted believer with their language to speak to them, but that's not what its intended purpose was. The intended person of a person speaking in tongues is to leave your intellectual person out of the way of communicating with God over Scripture.
Right.
Now, a young man had come to me just recently, and he was explaining to him about dreams and visions, and so he asked me what I thought about him. And I says, well, there's no way of me telling whether that is of God or isn't of God, but you question why you're having him, correct? He says, yeah. But he says, Wednesday night, when you were talking about it, I equate all this with praying in tongues. And I says, right away, I knew where he was going, and I never did clarify this with my body. And I'm going to tell you something. Tongues were not meant to baptize everybody in the Spirit so that you can have dreams and visions or anything else like that. They were given to you to work with Scripture to know and understand the knowledge of God. That's their main purpose and their only purpose. But when you get dreams and visions in the night, if they're of God, it more fits through a ministry gift than the gift of tongues. Are you following me? And see, we need to be careful because we can get into our imaginations and make tongues fit every weird thing along the pipe. And the Bible is very clear. The only reason that we get that heavenly language, and it is a heavenly language, not an earthly language. The reason we get that heavenly language is because that is the way God chose for us to communicate directly to Him on the subject of Scripture interpretation. That's all it's intended for. But if we get into dreams and visions and dreams in the nighttime and things like that, you're outside the perimeter now of the purpose of speaking in tongues, and you're going into, it could be your calling or your ministry gift. You know, you don't know. It could be a personal devotion that God is working with you in your life. But I'll tell you what, if you have dreams and visions, I guess what? You'll pretty well attach yourself to what God's saying to you. But if you get dreams and vision, you can't figure out where they're going or why they were there or anything like that, then ignore them and tell the enemy to quit bothering you in your night sleep. Are you following me? But people now, more than ever, we need to really come against the language, doctrinal languages that are stealing the benefits that the church could have from us just because some idiot stood up and spoke outside the Word of God through a seducing spirit. Right. Now, if you can approach mankind without judging them and condemning them and give them information that's very scriptural, you need to be careful how you present that to them, because it would cause them to open up a little more rather than to reject you. Right. See, the best thing in the world is communication. If you can communicate clearly to people, it's a lot easier. But sometimes people within the church try to communicate with people like there's something special in the Spirit. And people, I'm going to tell you, that just turns me off. Yeah. Like Lindsay, I believe this is what the Lord's telling me. She didn't get up there and say, "Thus saith thine Kenneth James," There are times when the anointing gets so strong, it does cause me to stumble, but I try to keep my composure. Because if you stumble around and you act too weird, some people think, what's going on? Now, some things happen because the flesh is weak, but the presence of the Lord can be mighty. Sometimes I'll end up doing things that I don't find that it's common all the time. It's very unusual. Because spiritual things is where our success lies. Did you know that? Anything that you are in the natural is not where your success is going to be. It is what you develop within you spiritually. You know, the hidden things of darkness always come to light. Why do they come to light? Because at the root cause of it was not dealt with. The root cause of it was not dealt with. The Holy Ghost, when He gets on the inside of you, He will get to the root cause of anything in your life, because His whole point, His whole viewpoint is to make you a good witness for him. Do you know sometimes when there's a strange move of the Spirit, I've found that the majority of the people will flow with it because I've seen it in our congregation. We hadn't had a problem with it. But when there isn't a good flow of the Spirit here, I've seen a lot of people turned off. Why is that? Well, it depends on how spiritual you are when you come to church. We can have a good move of God, and God can be very orderly in that move. He can do things in decency and order. And sometimes things do get a little off guard. But if God's in it, you guys will bear witness with it. If God isn't in it, you'll go, well, what was that all about? You remember how back they were doing a lot of preaching on praise and worship and dance in the church? And so a lot of ministers are hiring dancers to get into the church. And it's choreographic dancing. And Dad Hagen in one camp meeting stood up and God caught him up to the center. And what Dad Hagen was saying was, make sure that when you're in worship, it's not from the flesh, but out of the Spirit. And everybody interpreted that wrong. Well, listen, you don't plan on forcing people into choreographic dancing. Matter of fact, when they started getting into it and certain ministers were preaching it, our church got into it. We all got dancing. How many remember that? It was almost like one service. We had people just lined up for dancing in the aisles and stuff. And I saw some things that just shocked me. I saw people break dancing and falling on the ground and spinning around. And I saw one girl going like a goose step. And I said, oh my gosh, we have the spirit of a Nazi in here. And she caught everybody's attention, especially my leadership. They came to me, what are we going to do about this? It was almost like we don't want another dance move because she's going to show up in the woodwork. And then, of course, now we have these moves of God that have never lasted. And they've always lasted as long as the leader of them was not caught in some form of adultery. Well, where did that come from? How did that move of God really begin? Well, it makes you wonder. Because of what came out of it. And so, I'm saying I ought to say this. Spiritual things have got to have priority in our life, but they've got to be done in such a way it's in decency and in order. Right. Why? Because that's the heart of God. He doesn't want the world to freak out because we're all weirdos. He doesn't want people to come into our assembly and say, oh my gosh, what is going on here? He says if it's a true move of God, the secrets of their heart will be revealed and they'll fall down and say, truly God is amongst you.
Right.
We've had moves of God that was tremendous and things were not normally usual. But everybody collectively was in the flow.
Yeah.
That's what I call a corporate anointing. And you, if you're going to be a prophetic person, if you're going to come up, you've got to realize that if you're even going to prophesy, you've got to be careful that you observe the outward anointing. You can't just be plugged into yourself. You also got to be aware of what's going on around you. And here's what I mean by a corporate anointing. That's when God will move into a service and fall on all of you. Are you following me? And that's where the move begins. It's working on all of you. And what happens when God begins to move on everyone, you'll always find someone who is not even aware of what's going on around them, and they get into themselves, and then they begin to hear themselves. And usually if they do hear, the corporate anointing that falls on everybody, every one of you, did you know that when that spirit falls, the first thing he does is he speaks to the heart of every one of you?
Right.
In that presence. And there are some things that God will speak to you that does not belong to us. It belongs to you.
Right.
So you got to make sure that if you're not aware of the corporate anointing around you and you hear that voice and you can't recognize that voice is speaking to you, then you'll get up and come up here and try to give that to everybody else except yourself.
Right.
Now, how did I figure that out? I'm a pastor. And I have fellowship with a lot of you. And I have my opinion that I should keep to myself. But I'm going to do this for the sake of teaching. Because I get to know some people and what they need in their life that would help them. I see them come up here and prophesy. I don't see no change in them. But I see them get up here and prophesy the very thing they need. And I'm sitting there, oh my gosh, how could he give that to the body when he needs it? Or she?
Yeah.
Well, it's because they're not plugged in to what God is trying to say to you. The first thing I do is I always say, will that fit for the body? Because when I prophesy to this body, I don't prophesy a teaching gift unless God moves on me to give a prophetic utterance. And if he does, it usually fits everyone. But really, when God begins to speak to you and you don't see it for yourself, you put it off on everybody else. Why do you do that? I'll tell you why. Because you cannot plug into what you need to change with the Holy Ghost. You know, when I have fellowship with the Spirit, there was a time period in my life when I had fellowship with the Spirit. Like, I'd go into my closet and he'd give me candy. We had fun. I love God. God has a way of just loving you back. Then you go into your prayer closet one day and then you hear a voice from God. You and me are good, right? You got it, God. Good. We want to work on some things. Oh, what you got in mind? He says, what's in your mind? Then you go through a fellowship with him you never knew should have existed. Matter of fact, if you don't listen to him, you'll get to the point where I don't think that's God at all. But you know what? When God starts working with me, he's never failed to take me to the Word to show me in it.
Yeah.
In areas that his revealed will is very plain for me. And if you allow him to do that, you'll see a change in you.
Yeah.
And not only that, but we'll enjoy what God has to say to the public assembly, not hearing what he's saying to you, but what needs to be given to the entire body. And I'm going to tell you what prophetic utterance means for the body. The gift of edification, to edify. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's a simple gift. And that's what God intends you to do. But I've had some people come up here and say, come across with this attitude. Me and God are tight, and he told me to tell you. Right away, I just shut them off. Because that's not God's way of communicating. Now, we've had moves of God where We've had an assembly line for profiters. That ought to tell you right away that Paul clearly said in 1 Corinthians 14, at the most three. Why? Because God can get it across if he uses three people. But if you get five or six or seven coming up here, God's got a problem with his communication that morning. Is that it? Now, the reason I'm even going into this, we're facing a world that's very difficult. And when we come into these doors, you're not going to find a vast move of God and concern about spiritual things out there. They are more focused here. And so if we can value them here, they will be of great value out there. If we take the move of the Spirit as a judgmental thing here, we'll take it out there in judgmental ways. Matter of fact, God said, when you're out in that world and you're going to bring a judgment, you better make sure you have my leading when you do that. Because your job is not to judge the world. Judgment begins in the house of God. And so, I don't want to keep you much longer, but what I'm trying to say is, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is no teaching that is not for everyone. There is no teaching. I can't find it in Scripture. Somebody said, well, I can find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll never forget one brother who hit me with that. And I sat down and I was very gentle with him and everything. And I explained it out to him how that was interpreted. And he said, where in the world did you get that? I said, reading it. Well, you can tell his thinking process had been drawn in another area, another way. But then when you explain to him what it's saying, then his thinking reels back in and he has to relook at it, rethink it. You know, there was one scripture that was very confusing to me. No man has ascended up into heaven yet, but that which has come down. And a guy called and he came up with this Elisha being in the second heaven, or very argumentative on the Jimmy Swaggart program. And Donnie Swaggart opens his mind up and he says, that's not what that's referring to. And the way he explained it, I didn't even know that. And I said, duh, that makes sense. But this guy wanted to go on and on this argument. Well, he didn't call them to ask a question. He called to argue with him because his mind is already made up. Right. You know, one thing about growing spiritually is humility. Yeah. You know, just because you think you've arrived doesn't necessarily mean you have. Right. Somebody said, have you found that out? Oh, yeah. Especially when you have to eat what you taught. And I'm talking about not a good eating. It sure tasted going in, but it was sure bitter in my stomach afterwards. It reminded me of John the Apostle. Take, eat this book, and he ate it, and it was so honey, sweet as honey in his mouth. But afterwards, it was bitter. I think I understand that now. But one of the most important values that you and I have to face this world is to really fully understand what the Holy Spirit is all about. Because without Him, you can't face anything. You're back to where you were, strike one. Saved, but that's about it. Then you're too prone to bad doctrine. You're too prone to throwing the responsibility back off on God. You're too prone to not change in the way that you think. You're too prone to that kind of stuff unless the Holy Spirit is involved in even in the way that you think. Now, one of the things that helped me was some signs that would determine if I was capable of transformation. What made me capable of thinking differently? Have you ever thought about that? One day, God spoke to me and He says, how can you determine whether you're capable of changing the way that you think? I never thought it that way before until God spoke it to me. And God says, I have observed some thinking in you I want changed. I was sharing that with Brun. He said, I never had anybody tell me that. I said, I know. One of the signs that God showed me that could determine whether I'm capable of transformation is my natural life and flesh still in control. Am I still in control naturally? Or am I full of excuses? You know what excuses are? I ain't going to tell you. It's a bad word. Number two. Are we being conformed to this world? By three notable issues. My attitudes, what comes out of my mouth, and the results of the fruit that I'm bearing. It's that simple. Don't worry, you make it so simple. Because you're so stupid. Number three. No transformation through the renewal of their mind. There is no change in how they think. They're not even willing to change how they think. And number four, the mind is where one's spiritual judgment is involved. And the last one, to think soberly, to think on an equality with others. That's why a lot of ministers have bad doctrine, is because they're not thinking on an equality with the people that God has given them. They've entered into thinking ministry rather than thinking to minister. Some get off on tangents. Some get off on tangents of fasting. Everything has to be fasted. Matter of fact, now they got these Daniel fast, 21 days. Everybody's got to have a Daniel fast to hear from God and give it to the whole body. We all hear from God. Well, when I first heard that, I went, gee, when I read Daniel, God wanted to answer him the first day. Why would you deliberately take 21 days to hear God? Especially when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're not like an Old Testament believer. And besides, you're not so numero uno that satanic powers above the universe stops everything just so that it can't get to you. Am I popping and cracking? It's the power in me. No. I don't have to wait 21 days. I would never do that. Why? Without food? For 21 days? Somebody said, but that's what the prophets did. I didn't say I was a prophet. I said I was a pastor. Most pastors have chicken bellies. Well, how long do you believe on fasting? Kenneth Hagin said it, 3 days. That's it. I've gone 7 days at one time. Some of my staff, they got into, remember when you got into that fasting thing? They go 21 days and I just keep my mouth shut. Why? We didn't want to talk about fasting. Why? Because I don't want to hear their 21 days versus my 2 days. But fasting is different now. I've seen the change in it in the synoptic gospels. where they still say that the word fast there, it's not. But fasting is literally when you get away from every distraction and get your mind plugged into God. And it might not necessarily be food. If food is your distraction, then go to the food. Mine is not the food as much as the TV and the channel changer. So you just have to get away from your normal routine and so you can hear God. You know. And it's important that we hear God. But I said all that to say this. I'm going to quit. Spiritual things are very necessary and important, especially when it comes to the Holy Spirit in your life.
Amen.
More than anything else. If I didn't have anything else to say, that is what I'm telling you. And if people start saying that tongues are the devil, don't even give them a time of day. Interrupt them and leave.
Right.
It's the voice of the devil. Because they don't understand. And I mentioned tongues in my assembly. I've seen people get out and leave right away and never come back. Well, somebody else told them that. I'd hate to be that minister that's going to have to stand accountable for why they didn't get the baptism. I have to stand before God to give an account what I put into your soul. And I ain't going to go there because God says that will not be forgiven you while you're here nor you're there. Father, I thank you for the word of God.
Amen.
I thank you how powerful it is. And I thank you for a God that's a God of decency and order. And Father, I thank you that we don't have to be weird, but we can be truly spiritual in the witness that you give. And so, Father, I ask that you begin to move in every heart today. To really learn to appreciate the Holy Spirit that has been given to them in the fullness, not just the baptism into the body of Christ, but actually the Holy Spirit filling them up within. So they have the ability to burn up the chaff in the wrong kind of thinking in their life by being able to speak directly to you. I love you, Holy Spirit, and I thank you for coming, and I thank you for being my inward anointing. If I praise you, Holy Spirit, for every tongue I utter, because I'm going directly to you, and I love you for that heavenly language. And may everyone get a hold of it and begin to use their language. Not just agree to it, but use it.
Amen.
It is so important. And I thank you that it is the one thing that indicts the intellect more than anything else, because it's totally left out of the picture. Thank you for that. Oh, Russia. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. 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 Gosh, I have such a love for you. It's, you know, they have a new song out now. I love it. It's on the Christian channel. It's called, When I'm Standing in the Love of God, Fear Has No Place. Gosh, I love that song. I don't know. I'm going to have you... Look at that. That's something we could sing. Man, I'll tell you, when I just crank my radio up my car, man, I let that ring through my ears. Man, when you're standing in the love of God, fear has no place.
Right.
Ooh, I love that song. People, I'm going to tell you what, the love of God will remove all fear in your life. Whew. How to get that song, Tammy. Do you know the song? Oh, yeah. The lines, I might not be saying the line right, but I'll tell you. Ooh, it's good. Hallelujah. Praise. You know, we need a revelation of the love of God, because that's His love for you. You know that? That's His love for you. Love. He bears all things. You need to know that about His love. He puts up with you.
Yeah.
And all your little things, He puts up with you. I have to do a teaching on that. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Well, you men that weren't at the men's breakfast should have been there. Ted did a wonderful job. He's different. He's grown up. He's got some brains about him now. No, I'm just kidding.
You don't know me.
No, I don't. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, with every head bowed, every eye closed, Father, right now, if there's anybody here that has never given their life to you and would love to give their life to you, and Father, we would more than welcome them. We would pray with them. And even see to it that they get filled with the Holy Spirit. If there's anybody who is not filled with the Spirit, we would love to pray with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might be saved. I mean, you might be a part of the body of Christ as a member in the body of Christ. But you need that baptism. That is so important. For that is the power of God in our life. To assist in making change. That power has to get into you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this has come to me again now. And I don't understand this. But it's not necessary that you expose yourself. But there's somebody here that's been contemplating suicide. And my Lord told me to tell you, don't give that any thought. For I make a way of escape for you, saith the Lord. And so if that fits you, you can feel free to come up here when everybody else comes up. But I would like to pray for you to neutralize that kind of thinking. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Dialatro shindak barat. Thank you for coming today. Dear Heavenly Father, as we now release these people, may they have a victorious day in Jesus' name and preserve them from all evil. As they go home or go to dinner or lunch or whatever it is, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.